Now, I want to pick up today right in verse 13, where we closed out yesterday on the program, and I'm not going to rush through these verses, because particularly a verse like 13 here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, we've talked yesterday about your mind, how your mind controls your body, and how that if you've got a mind that is set on Christ, a mind that is set on the Bible, a mind that is set on the things of God, then you're going to do the things of God. Then he says, be sober. Now, that's understandable. Have a sober mind, not a mind that's flippant. Do you know what I mean by a flippant mind that's always flittering off after some sort of a foolish idea? Always jumping from place to place and never settling down and getting the priorities straight and getting things in order like they ought to be in their mind. So he says, be sober. Now he says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Hope unto the end. Now this hope, I've explained to you many times, as used here in the Bible, is not something that we are hoping, as we speak in the modern English, something that we are hoping will take place. It is a noun, it is a definite thing that is going to happen, and he said that is the hope of the Christian. Now, let me give you one example, the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is coming, so we don't have to sit around and hope that Jesus comes. Now, we can sure hope that he comes today. I do. I'd like to see him come today, but I don't hope that he's coming because I know that he is coming. And so consequently, this is a gift that God has given us that we can know these things and hope to the end. In other words, don't let these concrete Bible teachings of the second coming of Christ and all the other basic doctrines of the Word of God, and particularly the hope of salvation, not hope that you will get salvation, but the hope of salvation that you already have, don't let these things slip your mind. Now that's what he's saying. Don't let these things slip your mind. He says, hope to the end. In other words, this hope is there, and let it be uppermost in your mind, because the context there says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Now, we already have the grace of salvation. We already have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, so what kind of grace is he talking about here? You see, there are a number of kind of graces in the Bible. There's a saving grace, and there's keeping grace, and there's all kinds of graces in the Bible, and all of the graces come from God. Now he says, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, at the revelation, he's talking about when Jesus Christ comes again. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is when he comes and every eye shall see him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When he comes and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and he sets up his kingdom upon this earth, he says to the people that are suffering, and remember that's the major theme of the book here, to the people that are suffering, it's not going to always be that way. Oh, I wish I could come to your home right now, and many of you, dear Christians, who have become discouraged and you're so disappointed and so discouraged, and you've tried so hard, and things just don't seem to work out, and constantly there's one thing right after another that is putting a stumbling block in your path. I'd like to come and say to you, you hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not going to always be this way. One day we are going to be in charge with the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we are going to rule and to reign with Him. And one day we will rule and reign over the people on this earth that are living upon this earth during the millennial reign of Christ. And there will be no ridicule of the saints of God. There will be no laughing and making fun and poking fun and making light remarks about the fact that we believe on the Lord Jesus and that we are Bible-believing fundamentalists. I want you to know I'm not ashamed of that term at all, and I'm going to keep using it. A lot of preachers today are saying, well, we can't use the word fundamentalist anymore because they've so messed it up. Well, I don't care how much they've messed it up. I know what it means. And I know that's what I started out as, and I know that that's what I am now, and I'll be that when Jesus comes. I know that. And you say, well, preacher, you're awfully dogmatic, and you're not giving any term at all. You're not giving any thought at all to those who are so much more educated than you are and who have studied and learned the Greek and the Hebrew, and they've studied the old manuscripts and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they're coming up with new ideas and new things and new evangelicalism and new kinds of modernism and new age and new charismatic movements and all this kind of thing. And you're just not up to date. Well, I don't want to be up to date with that mess. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to be up to date with that. I started out with the Word of God. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And when Jesus comes and I come with Him to rule and reign upon this earth with Him by the grace of God, I will still be the same thing I am right now. And if you don't have that idea, you'd better soon get it, my dear friend. You'd better soon get it. He says, hold on to this grace. Let your mind be set on this grace that you're going to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ when He comes in the revelation, when He comes and gives you, after He has given you a new body, and then He comes back with you to this earth to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. You keep that on your mind. And if you keep that on your mind and somebody walks up and makes fun of you, you don't have to talk back. You don't have to argue back. You don't have to create some kind of a stir in the church. You don't have to defend yourself. I get so tired of Christians saying, well, I'm going to defend myself. You're not going to treat me that way. Well, when you're treated worse than Jesus Christ was, then I'll listen to you. When you're treated worse than Christ was treated on the cross, then I'll listen to you. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut. But I get sick and tired of people saying, I'm going to defend myself. Just think about one of these days you're going to rule and reign with Christ, and things are going to change, and it'll encourage your heart, and I hope it does right now by God's marvelous, marvelous grace.